before I gave him an answer, about a week and a half ago, I was sitting in a chair at home, and I asked the Lord, "You need to help me. What am I going to share on?" And anyway, I'm sitting in a chair, and he just filled me with this peace, and I was like, "It's going to be okay." Anyway, I'll just share a little bit, a really short testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. My mom and dad are here. I'm really thankful that the Lord has blessed me with parents that taught me the truth. Anyway, but for many years, what I learned of Christianity, of the cross, was just head knowledge to me. And it maybe wasn't until college years that God really became real to me. He was alive. I began to experience him, I began to experience his presence. I began to taste and see that he was good. And I came alive on the inside, and I knew that Jesus was alive. The main verse I want to go to this morning is from 1 Peter 1, verse 3. And it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy," or his abundant mercy, "he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." I love this verse. If you look at the first word, "Blessed be the God," it's almost like an explosion of praise. Blessed be his name. Like from Psalm 103, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." And why? Well, because according to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope. It's because Jesus is raised from the dead. I have a quote from Charles Spurgeon regarding this verse. It says, "At your first birth, you were born in sin, but now you have been born again through grace by the almighty power of God. Notice also unto what you are born, unto a hope that is full of life, a lively hope, a hope of immortality, a hope whose root is in the grave of Christ, the empty grave from which he has risen, and which is the assurance that because he has risen, you also shall rise." I want to talk more about this living hope that this verse talks about. Life is a quality or a characteristic of the hope believers now possess in Christ. Living is in the present tense, which indicates an abiding quality. A living hope is never extinguished by unfavorable or difficult circumstances in our lives. And this living hope, it's not like the world's definition of hope, which is, "Well, I hope so," or it's not based on wishful thinking. It's not finger crossing or anything like that, but it's alive and certain because of Jesus' resurrection from the dead. There's this quote that I found, "Life without Christ is a hopeless end, whereas life in Christ is an endless hope." Charles Spurgeon goes on to say, "A Christian's hope purifies him, excites him to diligence, makes him seek after that which he expects to obtain. It is a lively hope in the sense that it cheers and enlivens. The swimmer who is ready to sink, if he sees a boat nearing him, plucks up courage and swims with all his strength, because now he expects that his swimming will be of effectual service to him. The Christian, amid the waves and billows of adversity, retains his hope, a glorious hope of future bliss, and therefore he strikes out like a man towards the heavenly shore. Our hope buoys up the soul, keeps the head above water, inspires confidence, and sustains courage. It is also called a living hope because it is imperishable. Other hopes fade like withering flowers. The hopes of the rich, the boasts of the proud, all these will die out as a candle when it flickers in the socket. The only imperishable hope is that which climbs above the stars and fixes itself upon the throne of God and the person of Jesus Christ." I really like the end of that quote, how our hope is fixed on the person of Christ. Even in 1 Timothy 1:1, Paul defines hope as Christ Jesus, who is our hope. So according to this verse, the true biblical definition of hope is not a concept, but it's Jesus is our hope. Romans 5:5 says about hope, Hope does not put us to shame or doesn't disappoint us because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. About a week ago on Saturday, I was lying in bed and I was meditating on Psalm 103. It's my favorite psalm. And as I was thinking of the verses, verse by verse, I was overwhelmed with a sense of God's love and mercy for me. I had to leave the room, go into the living room, and just pour out my heart in worship because he's so good. He was hitting me with waves of his mercy, and I was just weeping because he loved me so much, and I don't deserve it. And I believe he was pouring his love into my heart. And because of this, Lord, we have an amazing hope as believers. It says in 1 John 3:2-3, "Beloved, we are God's children now, and what we will be has not yet appeared, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, because we shall see him as he is. And everyone who thus hopes in him purifies himself as he is pure." That we, when we see him, we're going to be like him. It's amazing that we can have this hope that God's going to change us. I also love 1 Corinthians 2:9. It says, "What no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him." Beloved, we have a living hope this morning because Jesus is alive. I want to talk a little bit more about the resurrection of Christ, how this firm foundation of our hope is based on his resurrection. Let's go to Acts 23, verse 6. In this verse, Paul is before the council from Jerusalem. And I'll just read the verse. "Now when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out in the council, 'Brothers, I am a Pharisee, a son of Pharisees. It is with respect to the hope and the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial.'" The interesting thing was the Sadducees didn't believe there was a resurrection, but the Pharisees did. And Paul was a Pharisee. Although he was now born again, he wasn't legalistic like many of the Pharisees were. But by saying this, he believed the dead would be raised to life and saw this hope realized in and founded upon the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. Let's next turn to 1 Corinthians 15. And I'm going to read starting in verse 12 through 17. "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We are even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it is true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." So if you look at these verses, it's pretty clear cut. If Jesus didn't rise from the dead, everything he did prior to that, his work on the cross, his life, that would all be nullified. I also want to make the point that we are not only saved by Jesus' death on the cross, but also by his life. As Jesus said in John 14:18, "Because I live, you also will live." And Paul said in Romans 5:10, "For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son," talking about the cross, "much more then, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life." And Jesus said in John 11:25, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live." So Jesus didn't only rise from the dead, but he said he is the resurrection. So anyway, I just want to encourage everyone that because Jesus is alive, we have much reason to rejoice and have hope today, this morning. He's given us a living hope that will not fade away. I just want to leave you with this verse. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope." Thank you.